Welcome. This is Natalie Pace. Today is March 28th, 2024. I am really honored to be bringing you Rob McEwen. He is the chairman and chief owner of McEwen Mining. But I'm going to brag about him a little bit because he's actually been in the business for decades. He's won multiple awards. He is an inductee in the Hall of Fame, the Mining Hall of Fame. He received an award for Queen Elizabeth's Diamond Jubilee. He's a member of the Order of Canada, and he is widely recognized as an innovator in mining. Now, one of the things that we're going to talk about today is his ambitious goal of making the first regenerative copper mine in Argentina. He's in the process of doing that. He's going to tell us a lot more about it. I'm going to be linking to a video where you can learn about their vision and their goals and what they're building there. And we'll also talk about the incredible stellar rise of McEwen Mining stock over the past month. It's up 71%. We're going to see if that's sustainable, if the stock is still undervalued, overvalued. And we'll also look in his crystal ball for gold and silver prices. Of course, copper is the commodity of the future. It's used in everything from our computers, electrical conduction, electric vehicles, solar, wind, etc. So this is a very, very strong commodity. And of course, McEwen Mining owns 47.7% of McEwen Copper. Now, that is not yet producing copper, but they are making ambitious, goals, and they are making strong progress. So we'll find out the timeline for that and much more in my exclusive interview with Rob McEwen. So stick around and we'll get started momentarily. Remember, you can always watch this back, youtube.com/Natalie Pace. Share it with your friends. If you have any questions or comments, or if you need a link to anything, email us info@nataliepace.com. So, everyone, we are now joined by Rob McEwen. As I already mentioned, he is the chief owner and the chairman of McEwen Mining. So, Rob, I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm sure you're not going to have any trouble answering them. You've been doing this for how many decades now?
Too many to count.
Well, you look great, but I already bragged about you, told everybody all the awards that you've won, and I didn't tell them about Gold Corp, though. That might be an important thing to say because that was a company that you started in a micro cap and took it all the way up to, I believe, what, $11 billion market cap. Am I right about that?
$8 billion.
8
It
billion.
after I left, it kept growing.
Yes. And you're essentially now doing it again. I want to talk both about McEwen Mining and McEwen Copper second. But I think that one thing that everybody is probably excited about is that 71% jump in share price that's happened since you announced earnings. Now, let's talk a little bit about that. Let's dig into it. I looked at your most recent quarter and it looked like you had very robust revenue growth. Did it double year over year?
Well, what happened there, Natalie? It had to do with our investment in McEwen Copper.
Okay.
And there was a deconsolidation that occurred. So prior to, I guess, October, when we did a financing at McEwen Copper, we owned more than 50%. And under accounting rules, you consolidate that. So all of the expenditures at McEwen Copper went on to the income statement of McEwen Mining. And we've been
Okay.
spending hundreds of millions of dollars there.
Right.
So, one, the expenses disappeared because we fell below 50%. And two, the asset value of McEwen Copper increased from 200 million to over 800 million.
Right.
And so we realized a gain based on the last financing we did, which gave an implied value of 800 million.
Wow.
Yes. So a couple of years ago, I thought we had the copper project and we had a precious metal, and the precious metals weren't performing the way they should be, and our treasury was weak. And I thought, all right, the market prefers pure plays. Precious metals and a copper play.
Right.
So let's separate it and create finance the subsidiary that holds the copper separately. And we've been able to finance that and build its value.
Yeah, and you've got some pretty deep partners there. We should mention it since we're talking about it. Rio Tinto, Stellantis, right?
Yeah, they're two global giants, the number two mining company in the world and the number four car company in the world are 19 and 14% shareholders of the company.
Great. And you're now, and McEwen Mining is now what, 47.7%? Am I in the ballpark?
Yes, and I'm just under 13% personally.
Okay, great. Now, for those of you that are trying to calculate the share price value of McEwen Mining, I was looking at your notes and you said that $7.75 is the value of McEwen Copper alone, right?
Yes, of our holdings.
Yeah,
So
so do you think that McEwen Mining is undervalued at this point?
I'd have to
Or,
say,
of
yes.
course you are, and you are the chief owner, and then you're going to cheerlead for it. We are, folks, we are going to ask harder questions than this, but I think that is important to note. And also that going forward, I was looking at your forward outlook. It looks like you are projecting a little bit of a weaker year in 2024 from McEwen Mining's precious metals. The GEOs are expected to be under where they were in 2023.
That's correct. We have
And can talk to us a little about that.
two development projects, one in our Fox Complex, which is up in northern Canada.
Yeah.
We'll be driving a ramp down to a deposit where we'll be just reducing our production to get down to this ore body.
Yeah.
And then we expect it to be much better once we're mining that ore body, because it's located right beside our mill or process plant.
Right.
Currently, we have to move material about 25 miles. And the rock is softer, and so we can put more material through the mill. So we expect it to resume and start growing again in 25, and the
Okay.
cost would be lower.
Great. So little weak. And so is one quarter going to look a week compared to a year ago? Q1?
Probably a little bit softer, yes.
Okay.
We gave guidance. We'll probably meet guidance, but it will be softer than last year.
Okay. So let's talk about valuation from the numbers standpoint. I don't know if this is correct, and obviously it's also including some one-time events with your, decoupling of McEwen Copper off the balance sheet, but it was looking like your price earnings ratio is 8. Is that something that's possible for McEwen Mining? And are you going to be able to continue pr running profitability, or was that one-time event super helpful?
Well, I hope it's not a one-time event, but it won't be as strong as what we reported this past year. A lot of that was accounting. The accounting becomes very obtuse at times, and so
Yes.
we went away. I went away for a week, and when I went away, we had earnings of $1.96, and I came back a week later, and it was down to $1.15. And I went, now what happened here? And they went, well, we found a theoretical tax we have to put in, but we're going to recover it in 24. And I said, well, why'd you take it off in the first place? But
Right.
so there will be a contribution from the gain we've had and our operations. The higher gold price and our lower costs are when you have all of our operations generating positive cash flow.
Now, you have always been very bullish on gold prices, and a lot of gold bugs have really suffered over the past decade, right? Gold was one of the worst performing assets. What do you think about it going forward in a world where we are seeing these really, I would say, unsustainable debt levels? I mean, we see a lot of concern. Some people, are worried that, currency will become worthless, and that would traditionally push people into gold. But we're seeing maybe competition from crypto. What is your crystal ball showing about maybe the coming year and the coming decade for precious metal?
I believe they're going higher, Natalie, and there's several reasons. One, the debt loads that Federal Reserve put on and the government's put on, and many other countries around the world. The period of very low interest rates caused a lot of people to speculate, and with interest
Yes.
rates coming up, there'll be some assets being sold to cover the debt. But I think the bigger issue is that the dollar since 1974 was a petrodollar, in that the world, petroleum is one of the biggest commodities purchased in the world. Everybody needs energy. And
Right.
so from 1974 forward, the Washington made a deal with Saudi Arabia that they would protect Saudi Arabia and the House of Saud. And in exchange, all the oil that Saudi Arabia sold would be sold in dollars. And then OPEC came along and all of the producers agreed to do that. Now, a couple of years ago, when Russia invaded the Ukraine, Washington put sanctions on Russia and basically confiscated all the money that they had held in the American banking system. And so that sent shockwaves through the Middle East and elsewhere in the world, going, wait a minute, could America do that to our bank accounts? So, since that time, 2, 3 years ago, you've seen the formation of what's called the BRIC nations, Brazil,
Yes.
Russia, India, China, South Africa. And they're using their currencies to buy oil with. So, everybody had to buy dollars in order to buy oil. Now there's a growing number of people that don't, or countries that don't need to buy dollars, and that's creating a weakness in the dollar, and that's lifting commodity prices. And you're seeing record buying by central banks of gold, and we haven't seen this type of buying in almost 50 years. So I think you have to follow what the central banks are doing. They're getting rid of their dollars. And they're buying and they're replacing it with gold, which is a time-honored way of holding your wealth. So I think it's going higher.
So, what do you think about the competition of crypto and even nations with their own, central bank reserve cryptocurrency?
I have to say I was behind the mark when cryptos took off. I remember doing an interview with Forbes. Some time ago, when crypto, when Bitcoin was $100 to $120 an ounce. And I said, and I thought, well, I don't really know anything about it, but if it became accepted, like it'd be similar to prisoner of war camps where chicken bones or cigarettes were accepted as currency. So if they accepted it as currency, it would go. But never in my wildest dreams did I ever think it would get to the type of numbers it's trading at today. And it's become a method to move money around the world a lot easier than moving a bar of gold.
And I think that anyway, we could talk about it more. I want to stick to and actually move into copper, which is an essential commodity that we use in so many things.
Yes.
You okay? Do you have any last words on McEwen Mining before we shift into McEwen Copper?
Well, in the last 19 months, we're up 224% from the beginning of September 22 to the close yesterday. There are three elements that comprise the value in McEwen Mining. One are holding in the copper. Two is a royalty portfolio. And three is our precious metal assets. And we have a high and low range. And it was ranging from $8 a share up over $30 a share. And there's some value points we measure off. The largest component of that value is the copper. And there's several copper projects in the same province in Argentina as our property. And one was bought for $500 million, and the other has a over $2 billion market cap. And we have a lot of attributes that make it, I think, equally attractive. We're at a lower altitude, closer to power. We're a larger resource. We're a lower cost projected. And all of those make me think that our copper asset still has room to grow. Our gold and silver assets are starting to perform the way they're supposed to. And so I think we can go start climbing back up in terms of relative value. And the portfolio, we have a conservatively valued at 35 million or about 70 cents a share, but we have a 1.25% royalty on our copper project that is projected to generate about $18 to $20 million a year for over 27 years. But we value it at $35. So I think there's room there. And I have a very positive outlook for gold, silver, copper. So.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about copper. And I just want to give people expectations on it. At this point, when do you, I mean, I saw that you were aiming for a feasibility study 1Q 2025. Am I right about that?
Correct.
Yeah. So do you have a timeline yet about when you might be producing, or is everything really still permit dependent? Tell us the process of getting to the point where you actually start booking revenue.
You won't see production until late 29, early 30. The feasibility study, once it's completed, then there's about a year of engineering to be done. And then you have a couple of years to build the mine. And then you're in production. And at that point, it's a $2.5 billion project that is expected to pay back, or at least the preliminary estimate suggests it will pay back in just over 3 years. It'll run for 27 years. It'll be in the lowest quartile of the cost curve, $1.07 a pound, when copper right now is just under $4.
Four, yeah.
And we're looking at only 27 years of production, but that's only mining 40% of the deposit. So we expect this to be a multi-generational asset. And it's currently considered by Mining Intelligence to be the eighth largest undeveloped copper deposit in the world. And if you took
Wow.
out the ones controlled by the majors, it's the fourth largest. So it's a large one. And I like to convert non-gold deposits into a gold equivalent. And if you took the price of gold divided by the price of copper and determined the number of pounds of copper to equal an ounce of gold,
Right.
this would be equivalent to just under a 70 million ounce gold deposit, producing an average annual production of about 600,000 ounces a year at a cost of under $600 an ounce, just to give you a sense of its magnitude. So
Right.
it's a very large asset. And I think in the market we're in, it's going to be looking more attractive because there's a lot of production that's going offline and creating this deficit in supply.
Yeah. Too bad you can't get it running in 2025 when the prices are expected to go even higher, right?
You're right.
Let's talk a little bit about, okay, so 2029, 2030, but I mean, I was looking at a couple of the challenges, and you know, anybody who's ever even tried to build a house knows that there are challenges to constructing anything, and a mine, of course, has that times a billion. Let's talk first about altitude. Are we concerned about the height in these mountains of Argentina? Does that add a lot of cost, or is the fact that, and we can fold in your vision for the first regenerative gold, I mean, copper mine, is the fact that you're going to have the mining camp up there, and solar powered and all of that, is that how you're solving that issue?
Well, altitude, it's between 3,100 and 3,600 meters. So think of 10,000 to 13,000 feet.
Yeah.
So clearly, if you're coming from sea level and you go to 10,000 or 13,000 feet right off the bat,
You might faint.
you're going to be short of breath. You might faint too. But you acclimatize to it. We are planning to build accommodation that takes into account issues of elevation and being the productivity of the workforce. What we're putting forward, would be a very different model than the conventional comparable size mine that it currently exists for copper. And you have special concerns. One that you mentioned earlier on, you have to get a permit, environmental permit, and that has to be approved by the community. So you want to take as many things away that are concerns that the population might have about a mine. So I liken it to how does the mining industry and how do we Uberize our mine? You know how Uber decimated the taxi industry by making transportation much more comfortable, predictable, and without complaints. So I feel the mining industry should be doing that as well. And what we did 2 years ago, I brought in an architect who's considered the Steve Jobs of green living building space
Wonderful.
and said, sit down with my engineers, my project managers, and senior management and help us redefine mining, because mining is in a desperate need to be redefined. It has such a negative reputation amongst so many people. So we looked at it and said, well, if we built a conventional copper mine, we're going to be using a lot of power. We're going to be producing a lot of tailings. And I looked at the tailings dam drawings, and it would be 300 meters high. It'd be almost 1,000 feet high in a valley that is in a seismic area. And there's a tributary to the main river going through the capital city. And I said, this is a non-starter. So we switched to a heap leach process. So there are no tailings. It uses less than a quarter of the water. Because we were able to get a contract for 100% renewable electricity generated by hydro, solar, and wind from a major power company in Argentina, the fleets will be electric. And so we're starting off with a very low carbon signature, and then we're building accommodation that, well, think of a very long, it almost is a greenhouse, but it's taking inspiration from the Incas, and it's terraced inside. We're growing our own produce to cut down on transportation, treating our own wastes and that. And there'll be hanging gardens. There'll be a very comfortable setting. And as I said, 100% powered by renewable. And well, I want to put a hotel in the midst of this because it's very striking countryside. It's very stark, rain shadow, but at night you can look, you feel you can almost reach up into the sky and pull down the stars if you wanted.
And by the way, you are going to have people that have to come up there from other executives, managers, I mean, the hotel can probably get use other than just even hopefully tourism. But I want to tell everybody, we're going to link to a video that takes all of the words that Rob has just said and puts it into a visual vision for you to watch. And I do encourage you to watch it. I sent over some of your stuff to a CEO friend of mine, and he's like, well, is he going to be able to compete with Chile and Peru? Is this a competitive advantage or is it adding cost? And I want to put that question to you. Do you feel A that the numbers are there, that even with renewables and all the vision that you have for the regeneration and the wastewater treatment and all of that, that it's still low cost? And I'm hearing from you, and you've got to verify this, maybe I'm off, that you think this might actually be a competitive advantage because if your community is with you, then the permitting process is going to be more smooth.
The industry has to change. I mean, the world's moving against it. And so, in order to get social license, we have to be much more responsible relative to the environment. When we did our preliminary economic assessment, updated it, and we released it last June. So the costs incorporated all of the features we're featuring that are different than other mines. And so we have a pretty good sense of what it's going to cost. And I'd say that's the price of being able to build a mine tomorrow.
Okay.
And in terms of cost, it projected, Goldman Sachs did a study of projects around the world that are to be built. And ours was calculated to be in the lowest cost quartile. So producing copper at $1.07 a pound, and that's including all the cost to build this infrastructure that some people will say, well, it's too fancy. And I said, you have to attract talent. And right now, the mining industry is suffering from an acute shortage of talent. There
Yeah.
has been a precipitous decline in students going into schools of engineering and geology. And at the same time, at the other end of the age spectrum, you've got large numbers of people entering retirement age. So there's going to be a battle for talent. And so why not make your place as attractive and as comfortable and as safe as can be, and use that as an attraction for getting the best people to work there?
Okay, I'm gonna throw in something else that I think could be a headwind. We have to talk about it. And again, I just want to, really punctuate that I'm building the first regenerative copper mine. I want to stay at that hotel. So I definitely want to come and see it and feature it as well. It looks beautiful, and as it's getting built, I want to see it. But let's talk a little bit about South America, because we've seen other copper mines that have run into problems with politicians, but also even corruption. So, not so long ago, Sociedad Química y Minera ran into a lot of corruption issues. I think they had to can their CEO, a lot of things like that. And some CEOs, other ones that I've talked to, in industries that service the mining industry, they're saying, it's almost a cost of doing business there. So, can you talk a little bit about the politics, the how you plan to navigate and work with Argentina, which has had a lot of political upheaval, and maybe even you're facing some headwinds right now.
Well, there has been problems in the natural resource sector. The biggest recent one was in Panama, First Quantum, and the government just basically shut it down. In Argentina, they elected a new president, Javier Milei, and he is very much a libertarian. He's an economist, and he came in and he was campaigning, and when he's on the podium, he was brandishing a chainsaw and say, I'm going to cut out the bureaucracy. We're going to get rid of the foreign exchange controls. We're going to reduce the taxes. We're going to encourage foreign investment. Now, that was all his rhetoric. He didn't have a large political base of support. So when he put his first bill through with about 300 revisions, it got rejected.
Okay.
But the IMF came along and said, we like what he's saying and we'll lend you more money. The Chamber of Petroleum Producers in Argentina said, if you change those laws, the tax rate and foreign exchange, we'll put $15 billion a year in to the country, and you will move from a deficit to a surplus. He has posted his first quarterly surplus since elected.
Wow.
And it remains to be seen if he can get it through, but he's winning marks among a lot of the outside, whether he convinced that Argentina's his sleeping beauty and he's the prince coming along to kiss and awaken the princess. Because once Argentina was, you used to hear the expression, as rich as an Argentine. You don't hear that anymore. 40% of the country is under the poverty line. So, and there's a high rate of inflation.
Yeah.
So it is an environment that leads to people trying to take things out of your pocket. But they are, mining is a very high-paying industry. It's very capital intensive. It generates all sorts of secondary and tertiary industries and businesses. So if they can execute on what he's hoping to deliver, Argentina could turn around. Between its neighbors, Chile and Peru produce 40% of the world's annual copper production.
Right.
With the copper discoveries that have been made in Argentina, including our own, there is a chance by probably the mid-30s that it could be producing 13% of the world's annual copper production.
Wow.
Now, if you combine that with Chile and Peru, those three countries would be producing more than 50% of the world's annual copper production. That would be very equivalent to the Saudi Arabia of the oil industry. This would be, they would have that type of power in the marketplace.
And we have to note that Goldman Sachs has called copper the new oil.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is, do you have any crystal ball on where copper prices will be in 2024 and 2025?
I'm reading reports.
Okay. I know, and there are conflicting things based on how slow the economy goes, right?
Yes, it's Dr. Copper. It's often used as a predictor of where the economy is going.
Okay, well, Rob, I'm going to give you the last word, and I want to thank you again for your time, and definitely keep me posted on the progress of the first regenerative copper mine. That's exciting.
It'd be my pleasure to invite you down to the opening of the hotel, or be even before that, to see this fabulous place. I think people should have exposure to gold, silver, and the metals. I think the metals are going to perform well. And there are a number of companies out there. As you asked earlier on, do I think it's undervalued? Yes, I do think McEwen Mining is undervalued. We have good trading volume on the New York Stock Exchange, 500,000 to 1 million shares a day. We're coming off a bottom. We were our share price was pummeled between 2018 and 2022.
Yep.
So I just see us, we're on the road of a redemption.
Yeah.
The period before was the road to hell. And so I just think there are a lot of things that are turning for us in a very positive way. So I just ask your readers to take a look. I have $220 million invested personally. I take $1 a year in salary. I own 17% of McEwen Mining, 13% of McEwen Copper. And
Okay,
if
and full disclosure, folks, I own McEwen Mining as well. So, yeah, I am a believer in Rob. Basically, I know it's interesting because we did an interview at the low in 2020, and the one thing I think that readers and viewers may not know about you is that you do tell it like it is. Now, you've always been a bit of a gold bug. You thought that gold might hit 5,000 an ounce, and of course, we've been waiting for that for a while. But at the same
patience.
time, you don't really blow smoke. You don't really, like when you were going through it, you were telling us what was happening. And so I believe you when you say you're going to build the first regenerative copper mine. I don't think that that's just a beautiful visual video that you created there. And I also know, from your support of our Earth Gratitude Project. So thank you for what you're doing for the industry. And thank you guys for joining us. So again, remember you can watch this back at youtube.com/NataliePace. And thanks again, Rob.
Thank you, Natalie. Pleasure, as
Bye
always.
now. Bye
Bye.
now.